Hey, can I tell you a story? Would that be okay? Well, it better be, because I'm going to tell you anyway. So there we are at South by Southwest this past year, and I'm going to only name a couple of names. I'm not going to name the legal counsel to the stars, including yours truly, Dennis the Menace, who was there at the venue, and several other of us who were forewarned that if Arrow, the lead singer of Starcrawler, whose song I Love LA from their debut album you just heard, if she just didn't like the crowd, if the crowd wasn't cool, if the crowd was annoying, well, you never know what could happen. And, well, I was a little forewarned, but legal counsel to the stars, who'll go nameless, but he knows who he is, was not forewarned. And so the crowd was mostly cool, and Arrow was doing what she does on stage, which you'll hear more about. And at the end of the show, she goes rushing to the back of the venue, and next thing you know, legal counsel to the stars has fake blood all over his neck and the shoulder of his jacket. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it as we open our number one of this thing that I call Just Another Menace Sunday, where we have conversations with rock and rollers of note, and then we have them build us a musical sandwich. Two of their songs is The Bread, and songs by others in between. Our number two, new melodic rock and roll. As you've probably already guessed, and if you haven't, what are you doing? My hour number one guest conversation is with the band Starcrawler. Very shortly after South by Southwest, we hung out in their palatial van. There's such a great story and such great performance, and this is such a great conversation, and their musical sandwich is pretty cool too. So I can't wait to share it with you. And why should we? Let's have a conversation with Starcrawler right here on Just Another Menace Sunday.
I'm Arrow.
I'm Henry.
Timothy.
Austin.
And let's just do it this way, because we got stereo. At the top of your lungs, what band are you in?
Starcrawler.
Okay, now come on. A little sync here.
Starcrawler!
You were like one beat per minute behind. Holy Toledo. Want to try it again so you can be pros?
Yes.
Go ahead. What band are you in?
Starcrawler!
We pinned the meter. Damn proud. You are part of LA's thriving glam rock scene. Because, you know, there is a thriving glam rock scene in Los Angeles. I know
there's
that.
Not.
I know that, but this is what I'm saying. You are melting faces, you are blowing minds. Amazing, we're done. That's it, that's all we have to talk about.
Awesome.
At what moment did you say, I want to form a band?
The exact day. I was not doing math.
Okay.
I was.
Make sure you have the mic. You were doing math?
I was doing math, yeah.
You were doing math?
Yeah. Math?
Math.
Math?
Math. I've always been.
What kind of math? Get the pick out of your mouth.
Always been.
You're not going to be on my conversation with a pick in your mouth.
I know.
So Tim did math, and
did
then
math.
I
was in math.
I listened to Blizzard of Oz by Ozzy Osbourne in my dad's apartment.
Okay, so you listen to Ozzy Osbourne, and you were doing math, and then you go.
I was not doing math.
He was.
He was doing math, and I.
Math.
And I was in my dad's apartment listening to Ozzy because he put it on the record player and showed it to me.
You didn't have your own apartment?
My own apartment at 12 or however old I was. I don't know, 14? I don't
know
how
old
I was.
Who are
you?
Middle school, sometime in middle school.
Okay, so you listen to Ozzy and you go, okay, this appeals to me. Why Ozzy, of all the other things that might have made it on the turntable or the CD player or the MP3 thingy or the cassette or the 8-track?
I don't know. There was like something. I mean, I'd seen, you know, like rock stars like him that like had the same vibe and attitude, whatever. But like there was something about him where he just like did not care at all. He did, you know, obviously. But like at the same time, he didn't, like, in any way.
Spinning in circles.
You have no fair game.
But I just think there's something in, like, what he was doing that wasn't like anyone else.
It's true. Okay, I want to get this over with early on, and then we can get to everybody else. Ready? Photographer mom, dad who's played with Misty, Ariel Pink, who's a good friend, good thing. It ain't bad to have Ryan Adams as a family friend. That's kind of a cool thing. But I want to debunk this right away. It's not like you got this introduction. It was like, hey, listen, Ryan's showing up at the house and he's going to make a record for you. He found you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell that story in a way that actually people will get it.
I'd only met him like once or twice when I was little, that I remember at least. So I didn't know him that well. And then my mom, you know, he followed my mom, I guess, and then she was like, oh, you know, Ryan really likes you guys. Like, he's been emailing me and, like, texting me about it and stuff. I was like, oh, that's cool. Wow.
Did you know who he was?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a start. Okay, so there's emailing and stuff, and then he comes and sees you. Then he comes and sees you, and how did he approach you? Because, you know, so many bands would love to approach him, but he approached you.
Well, we were emailing first. And then, so it wasn't totally out of the blue. But then he came, we invited him to a show we played in LA, and then he came and we all talked and bonded and had a great time.
Rah. Yeah, you had to throw that in because that's like so LA, right? Being taken seriously. I want you all to talk about that. I come from the world of that I got the Ramones' first record, and the first thing everybody said, nobody took them seriously. Everybody thought it was a joke, but they had done their studying. They knew their rock and roll. And what I hear in this record is that you didn't just go, oh, we're going to put this together. You did some work.
Personally, I think you can take it any way you want to take it. But we do put a lot of work into it, and we all grew up, you know, listening to music and loving music, and we put our hearts into what we do. And when we came together to write this record, we wrote about what we were thinking about and everything that was on our minds, and we really put everything into making this record and making it serious. And as much as you want to call us whatever, it doesn't really affect us, because if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it, you know. So I think it's the people who do get it know, and they know music, and they'll interpret it how they will. And if they like it, they can come to a show and experience it for themselves. And if they don't want to, then let them be too oblivious to care, you know.
I thought about it more short term, just like playing my parts and playing them in time, the right notes. And I think just being on stage is enough of a reason. Just locking in with like four other human beings and playing a song is something that is important in itself, and that's all I really care about, I guess.
I would actually think the same. I think it's music subjective, and people who kind of fall into the same holes of like, if they only like a specific genre of music, they'll stick to that and keep on going and going. But I think it's I think people should probably try to open their horizons a bit more and see things they wouldn't normally want to go out and see or anything like that. I feel like if you get too wrapped up in everyone's opinion about what you're doing, it kind of will mess with you. So
but
I don't
also,
think we really
like,
look at it.
It can always be better. Like, everything can always be better. So at one point or another, you have to just stop and just like it for what it is.
But where was the moment that you know, that you knew that the show was going to be the show? You had the music, you wrote the songs, you knew what they were about. When did you kind of come to this conclusion that you had to do more than that?
I mean, I knew I wanted it to be like a show, but I didn't really know what I wanted it to be exactly until like the very first show we played. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, this is it.
Girls, boys, heartbreak head, what's left?
Wow. What do you mean? Like, girls,
what comes that, after that?
The songs are about girls, boys, heartbreak head, what's left?
I guess.
What do you got left?
More girls love heartbreak and head, you know?
Yeah.
Round two.
Love.
I mean, math.
That's the hardest one of all.
You ever think about love?
Math. Math is important. So I walk into the club. I knew what I was in for. A lot of people didn't. And I was with a group of people, various human beings. And the manager really did kind of say, you know, it really depends how the night's going to be and how the crowd's going to be and what's going to happen, right? And it's like going into the movie and it's got the little warning label saying, you might get upset here. That
really?
Could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was in London, right?
No, that was at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah, they did put a warning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Arrow, I'm the debunker. I'm the one that breaks shit down. We're sitting here. You're not spitting blood at me. You're not attacking me. You know, you're not demonic. You're just playing a friggin' role. Do you agree with the fact that if the crowd are a bunch of straight bozos, they deserve everything they get?
Well, this is my take on everything. First of all.
On everything.
First of all, the me on stage is still me. It's not like this whole completely like made up role that I created.
Is that in the van now?
it's another side of me that I can only reach when I'm on stage. And my stage persona is like the girl that I strive to be like every day. And so that's what that is.
You know that I'm going to go, you know that I have to go one level more on the girl you strive to be every day. I have to go deeper there.
Like a girl that...
Give me some bullet points, some math on that.
Or a guy that just like goes crazy, like, and like just doesn't care like at all about anything. Because obviously everyone does care. So even if they're like, "Oh, I don't care about what I wear." You do, because you pick out what you wear.
Hello, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, know. even if it's like basic, it's still like something that you like that you choose. Yeah. So I don't know. I think everyone cares in somewhat, but like, I don't know. It's like a level that like. I mean, you could only really be like that person for so long.
Yeah.
So that's why the showtime is like my chance to like be that person.
Okay, but rest of band, who knows this woman really well, right? And you're surrounded by this, and I actually remember at that show at one moment, I forget if it was you who kind of just like... She was doing her thing, and the audience was looking, and you just kind of, like, it's not that you lectured them, but you covered the rest of the bases. So do you feel like your roles, along with her role, that you kind of have to play a... Play, you know what I mean?
You mean the interview thing?
Well, no. I mean, even when you're on stage, and you're doing your thing, and they're playing, and they're doing what they're doing, right? Are you, I mean, you guys are tight. You guys know it's a show. And I think it's important people know that.
Yeah, we just do what we do. We have fun. We lock in. We all have each and individual personalities. And that's basically what we play on stage. I'm just being me up there. I'm just, you know, off the walls on Coca-Cola. And Tim's the shy guy to the side. And we just all lock in and play together. And it turns into one big sound.
Yes, it does. Making certain choices, like the girl who's on the cover of the album, doing the other things that you're doing to surround this, is that also part of the you want to be?
I don't know. I just like everything to look good, and I don't know. I don't really know.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, and okay, I'm gonna approach this. We're gonna have some fun here. You're an LA band. What the hell is an LA band?
Dude, I mean, there's so many great LA bands that, like, for instance, one of my favorite bands from LA is X. It's that energy that LA had, you know, of just so many different kinds of people and so many different genres of music in one place, and you're allowed to get very creative just based on that there's so many things to do, so many different places to go.
You go to South By, you play all these shows, and you end up with the prize. But do you think about that? Do you think that, you know, there were 8 quadrillion bands there, and of all those bands, you're the one that got the notice?
Well, we kind of just woke up to it, like when we got back from Texas, and it wasn't that we, it wasn't like one of those things where it was nonchalant, like, oh, that's cool, whatever. It was like we were happy to get it, but we just didn't realize. Like, we didn't realize that South by Southwest.
You didn't even know there was a prize to win.
We didn't realize that, they gave out, prizes.
You just showed up to play.
Yeah, it wasn't like we thought of it like a battle of the bands or a competition or anything. We just played like how we normally do, and then I guess someone liked us enough to reward us.
The new record, which I know you're already working on. See, I don't have to do that because I already know that you're working on the new music. But when you're looking back on what you've done on this first record, and I'll save all of this, you recorded it live in the studio, you did all the things, you recorded it analog, blah, blah, blah. Do you talk about what you want it to be next and how you want to kind of progress? Because obviously you don't want to do the same thing for the dreaded sophomore album.
Well, we've grown as a band so much since we recorded that album. We recorded it almost 2 years ago now, pretty much.
Wow, you see, I had no idea it was that long ago. So you shopped it for that long to get to my friends at Rough Trade.
Yes. It was done before we spoke to them.
It took a minute, yeah.
And so it's been done for so long, and we've grown so much musically and became so much better. So it's just, we've grown so much musically, and we've learned so much from working with so many different great musicians, and also just playing every day on the road. We've learned so much about each other's playing that we can take aspects of what we did and do it again, and it'll make much a bigger boom because we've grown so much.
People are going to be really surprised, aren't they?
Of course. Yeah. As expected. It's part of
the fun. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by anybody in between.
You can get along if you try to be strong, but you'll never be. shovel with a shoe shine. Makes me a Molotov. I'm on the headline. Wanna be a gunslinger? Don't be a rock singer. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Which way you wanna go? Talk about pop music. Talk about pop music. Shooby dooby doo up, right in between. Pop pop shoo up, meeny, meeny, meeny. Shooby dooby doo up, right in between. Pop pop shoo up. You know what I mean. Hit it. Now you know what I'm saying.
Every night during the school time. summer when you came up to stay with my friend. Said I'm the guy who left you with tears in his eyes. You didn't answer my letter, so I figured it was just a lie. Girl, don't tell me you're right. Girl, don't tell me you're right. Girl, don't tell me you're right.
When I was a little boy living down in the south, Mama told me never to open my mouth. Mama told me, Mama scold me. I was just a little boy about 9 or 10. Mama had a lot of influence then, and she told me, Mama scold me. Mama told me when to go out and play. She even told me what to do and say. Yeah. Well, she must have had authority from above. She even told me who to love. Yeah. When I was a little boy, 25 or so, well, I took a little trip up to Ohio. Yeah. Your babies, let them go. Yeah.
dream alive. Now it makes me sad. It makes me mad at you for loving what is you. Eyes without a face. Eyes without a face. Got no human grace. Your eyes without a face.
something I gotta say, Laura. You know it's really been such a long, long time. And you know, Laura, I knew you'd make it good someday. And you knew it anyway, Laura. I know that maybe this is the wrong, wrong time. But Laura, where did that magic go? You make me want you proud.
a true LA character portrayed by my our number one conversation LA characters, Starcrawler, from their debut album In the Bottom Bread in the musical Sandwich. Starcrawler and Chicken Woman. Lots of ingredients in the sandwich. We went way over the hour. Way over the hour, because it was that much fun. I had to. Ween gave us Ocean Man. Runt, otherwise known as Todd Rundgren. The medley, Baby Let's Swing, The Last Thing You Said, Don't Tie My Hands. X, The Phone's Off the Hook, But You're Not. Ozzy Osbourne, Mr. Crowley, Harry Nilsson, Daddy's Song. Eyes Without a Face, Billy Idol, The Hollies, Hey Willie. 0 Hour from the Plimsolls, Biff Rose gave us Mama's Boy. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Tears for Fears, Joe Jackson, I'm the Man. The Melvins, Hooch. Girl Don't Tell Me, The Beach Boys, The Plugs, Aiken. Pop Music from M. Hall & Oates, Rich Girl. And the top bread in the Starcrawler musical sandwich, Love's Gone Again. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any input, any output, any throughput, or just want to put something out there about my conversation with Los Angeles band Starcrawler or the musical sandwich they made for us, please email me, dennis@menaceattic.com, menaceattic.com. It's time for hour number two of Just Another Menace Sunday New Melodic Rock and Roll. It's coming up right now.